نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah, and we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them to many men and women. And fear Allah from you, demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the fire. We're continuing with Usul Sunnah by Ibn Abi Zamanin rahimahullah, and we're still in the chapter, the encouragement to hold on to the Sunnah and follow the Imams. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu أرسل عبد الله بن عباس إلى أقوام خرجوا فقال له إن خاصموك بالقرآن فخاصمهم بالسنة. علي بن أبي طالب, he sent عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهم to the people of the Khawarij, and he said, say to them, if they debate you with the Quran, then debate them with the Sunnah. And the Shaykh, he says, I didn't find the names of the people in this, or the biographies of the people in this chain, so Allah knows best to its authenticity. We're continuing here with these narrations where we left off, with here showing that the Sunnah is the explanation of the Quran, and that sometimes the Quran leaves things in general, and if the people follow their own desires, that they might be able to interpret the Quran any way they like, except when you know the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we have quoted from the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. And we have revealed to you the revelation so that you may explain to humanity what was revealed to them, so that perhaps they might reflect, referring to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Quran has many things in general, but it's the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that clarifies what is meant by ayat in the Quran, with the likes of the example, let me see the Quran there. The group of people who read this ayat, سورة البقرة verse number 62, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالنَّصَارَى وَالصَّابِئِينَ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فلهم مجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. Indeed, those who believe and those who are Jews and Christians and Sabians, whoever believes in Allah and the last day and does righteous deeds, then for him is his reward with his Lord, and there will be no fear on him, nor shall they grieve. Some people read this ayah and they say the Jews and the Christians will be in Jannah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And this could take place if you're ignorant of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will explain the likes of this ayah and other ayahs. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ. والذي نفسي بيده لا يسمع بي أحد من هذه الأمة يهوديا ولا نصراني ثم لا يؤمن بما جئت به إلا كان من أصحاب النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. I swear by the one whom my soul is in his hand that no one will hear of me who comes after me, whether he is a Jew or a Christian and then doesn't believe in what I brought, except that he will be from the companions of the hellfire. The Messenger of Allah explains. Some of the people, they say, well, it's a contradiction between that ayah and the statement of the Prophet ﷺ. No, there's no contradict. There's no conflict. If the Jew or the Christian believes in Muhammad ﷺ, like many of the Christians have when they accepted Islam, in that case, they will be from amongst those who will have their reward with their Lord, and they won't have any fear nor grief. But this is in general, as the Shaykh is establishing some basic principles for us in our deen. And this is one of them, in the statement of Ali radiallahu anhu, that if the people argue with the Qur'an, then bring the Sunnah, as the Sunnah clarifies the issues of the Qur'an, as the Qur'an has been left general. قال عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه لا يأتي عليكم عام إلا والذي بعده شر منه لا أعني عاما أخصب من عام ولا أمطر من عام ولكن ذهاب علمائكم وخياركم ثم يحدث قوم يقيسون الأمور برأيهم فيهدم الإسلام ويثلموا. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says that there'll never come a year except that the one after it is worse than it. And I don't mean that one is more fruitful than the other, or there was more rain in one year than the other, but I mean that the ulama will die off, or the best from amongst you will die off, and then there will come some people who will handle the affairs with their own opinion by making qiyas, and then they will destroy Islam and break it, or something like that. And in the other narration, Anas ibn Malik, he says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Isbiru, fannahu la ya'ti alaykum zamanu illa walladhi ba'dahu asharrun minhu hatta talqaw rabbakum. Sami'tuhu min nabiyyikum sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And this is collected by al-Bukhari. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, be patient, because indeed there doesn't come a year except that the one after it is worse than the one before it, until you meet your Lord. At any rate, what is trying to be established in this is that when the ulama are gone and the good people understand the Quran and the Sunnah are gone, then there will come some people who don't understand Islam, and they'll use their own minds and their own intellects to understand this deen, and then they'll destroy Islam, meaning destroy the pure understanding of Islam when the people understand it with their own opinions. عن ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه, he says, I command you to follow and do not invent bid'ah, because you have been given enough. By follow, he means follow the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and don't invent that which they didn't do, because you have been given enough, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah, the way it was understood and practiced by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is enough. An Uthman نبني حاضر الأزد قال قلت لابن عباس أوصني قال عليك بالاستقامة اتبع ولا تبتدع. عثمان ابن حاضر الأزدي, he said that I said to Ibn Abbas, give me some advice. And he said, I advise you to be upright, follow, and don't invent bid'ah. And the other narration, Hudhayf ibn Yamar radiallahu anhu, he says, اتبعوا ولا تبتدعوا فقد كفيتم اتبعوا آثارنا فقد سبقتم سبقا بعيدا وإن أخطأتم فقد ضللتم ضلالا بعيدا. Hudhayf ibn Yamar radiallahu anhu, he says, follow and don't invent bid'ah because you have been given enough. Follow our narrations and you will be in the front. And if you don't do that, then you will go astray, far, far astray. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه قال لا يأتي عليكم ناس لا يأتي على الناس عام إلا أحدثوا فيه بدعة وأماتوا فيه سنة حتى تحيي البدعة البدع وتموت السنن. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he says, there won't come a year upon the people except that they will invent in that year a bid'ah, and a sunnah will be left off until bid'ah comes to life and the sunnah is dead. He says this narration has not been authentically reported on Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu radiallahu anhuma. And this is the end of this chapter, of which our Shaykh Ibn Abi Zamanin is establishing for us the issue of holding on to the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and following the way of the Imams. And this means that the Quran and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam must be followed by the Sahaba. Or let me back up. The Quran is general. And then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to explain the Quran. So the only way that you can practice the Quran is with the explanation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then with the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi wasallam, the only way you can understand that is with the understanding and the practical application of the Sahaba. And then those people took that understanding and passed it down up into our generations. This is the only correct way to understand and practice al-Islam, as we are given some of the examples with the statement of Allah Ta'ala, وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْعُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ, and make the and complete the Hajj and the Umrah for the sake of Allah. How do you know that when you make the Umrah that you come into the state of Ihram at the Miqat in Dhul Hulayfa or the other Miqats? What ayah teaches you that? وَمَا آتَاكُمَ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. And whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. And whatever the Messenger prohibits you, leave it. This is how you know that you get into the state of Ihram at the Miqat there. How do you know that when you get to the Kaaba, you're going to start your seven laps going counterclockwise, starting at the black stone? How do you know that? From the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. And whatever the Messenger prohibits you, leave it. Or as we were saying in the other ayat, and we have revealed to you the revelation, we have revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam the revelation so that you may explain to humanity what was revealed to them. So this Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down, his book and his speech, that it'll be understood by the understanding of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That people can't feel that their explanation, well, it says in the Quran, do this, I'm doing it. Until you know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam explained, this is how you do that. Because many things are left very general in the Quran, and you don't know the details of it until you know the explanation of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Shaykh is trying to establish this principle. I'm just repeating this point as we've been just going through the Aqidahs real fast. but to stop on this point because of the importance of this point. And that is, don't just understand the Quran with your own understanding, but that the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has to be there to explain the Quran. And be aware of the statements that we've heard so often, Shaytan has his hands in the hadith, or I'm not with all of that hadith stuff, or some of those hadith are da'if, or whatever the people say to prevent us from taking the explanation of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, some of the hadith are da'if, those are the ones we're not taking. Salat alayhi say, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu in ja'akum fasiqun binabin fatabayyanu an tusibu qawman bijahala fatusbihu ala ma fa'altum nadimin. O you who believe, when a fasiq comes to you with some news, verify it before you harm the people with your ignorance, and then you become regretful thereafter. And Imam Muslim rahimahullah, he explained in the Sahih, then this ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to check things out that comes to us. So if the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam comes to us by way of this chain of narrators, we check out the people in the chain of narrators. If we find that they're reliable memorizers of this deen, then we accept their narrations, and the other ones we don't. And the ulama, alhamdulillah, have laid it out and made it clear for us to know what has been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam and what has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. This seems like a general principle that everyone should understand, but there are so many Muslims who don't accept the hadith of the Messenger of Allah and don't use it to explain the Quran, with the example that I gave earlier, what they saying the Jews and the Christians are going to Jannah. When the Messenger of Allah, he makes it clear, whoever doesn't believe in what he believes in will be from the monks, the companions of the hellfire. That's referring to the Jews and the Christians who believe in, either believe in what was sent to them by their messengers Musa and Isa, meaning there were some people who believed straight in Musa and believed in Isa and what was brought by Musa and Isa, and they died on that, and those people will get their reward. But after the coming of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Jews and the Christians have to believe in the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, or they're going to the hellfire. We're after the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. We don't take the verdict of the people who came before the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah is best. No.
In that ayah, Allah makes it clear that they believe in him.
No.
Right? And I'm saying for myself, maybe it's just a nightmare that Allah has given me. But I don't understand, because these Christians these days, like I tell a lot of Muslims, they saying that these Christians did. So the first thing I would tell them, well, ask them do they want to, do they worship Allah? They'll tell you flat out no. No. I believe in Jesus. Okay. But it makes it clear. I mean,
but the people are playing around. The Jews and the Christians, they got the same beliefs they had before. Now the beliefs are the same. You know, the beliefs of the Jews and the Christians are the same. The practice is different because they invent bid'ah. Bid'ah is accepted in their deen. So they just got so much bid'ah, and you're never going to stop the invention of bid'ah, because so long as people have minds, they'll invent something. But as far as the basic beliefs of Christianity, then those beliefs remain the same from generation to generation. I was just looking in the paper the other day, in the Sunday paper, and they were selling this idol, and they said, purchase this idol, or whatever they call it, statue-like thing that you put in your house on a table or something. Purchase this idol of the Mother of God. The Mother of God. That's what they were saying. The Mother of God. Alright, some Christians say, we don't say that Mary is the Mother of God. That's okay. But some of them do.
No.
And what you have to say about them. So the Christians and the Jews, but I don't want to deviate from the point, because this is only an example of the examples. The point is that Quran is going to be understood with that understanding of the Messenger of Allah Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if the people allow themselves to just understand it and interpret it any way they want to, then the people set themselves up from going far, far astray. And likewise, the people who are astray are ignorant. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. as when they say they don't accept the sunnah, like the example the brother is trying to allude to, they say they don't accept the hadith. Tell them, why are you reciting Fatiha in your salah? Every rak'ah you reciting Fatiha. For what? You just said you don't accept hadith. Why are you doing the tashahud in your salah? You said you don't accept hadith. Ain't no ayat in the Quran that says recite Surah Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah of your salah. No, I mean, no ayat that says that. Why don't you, if they say, well, Fatiha is in the Quran, you say there's a whole lot of surahs in the Quran. Why don't you make another one the first one? Or the tashahud. At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa sallam. The tashahud ain't no ayah that says, say this in the tashahud. There you go. And this was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blamed the people of generations before when He says, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some of the book and disbelieve in others? Do you believe in some of Islam and disbelieve in others? What the Prophet ﷺ brought is from Islam, and it says it in the Quran, whatever the messenger gives you, take it. Whatever the messenger prohibits you, leave it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. And he doesn't speak from his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. And likewise, the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, some of the people are confused with, for lack of a better word, saying confused with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, by using their own opinions to understand this hadith means that, this is how you practice that hadith, as if there weren't people right there listening to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. I used to make the example, the Prophet ﷺ said, صُوُّ صُفُوفَكُمْ فَإِنَّ تَصْوِيَةُ صَفِّ مِنْ تَمَامُ الصَّلَاةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, straighten the rows and fill the gaps, because indeed straightening the rows is a part of perfecting the salah. Did someone hear the Prophet ﷺ say that? When he said it and they heard it, what did they do? Straighten the rows. Did the Prophet ﷺ see them straighten the rows? Yes. Was it okay with the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? Okay. How was that? The Sahaba narrated to us. We saw that when the Prophet ﷺ made this commandment to us, that a person would have his foot next to the foot of the one who was next to him. And in some of the narrations, his ankle next to his ankle, and his knee next to his knee. Alright, why are people acting like they don't understand how to straighten the rows? Well, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say foot to foot. He didn't say ankle to ankle. He didn't say knee to knee. No, the Prophet ﷺ didn't say it. But tell me he didn't mean that. And how do you know he meant it? From the understanding and the practice of the Sahaba. Nah. When someone says something, he means something by what he said. And how do you know what he meant? Because if you did what he told you to do, and it was okay with him, that means that's what he meant from it. Some people say, we can straighten the rows without putting our foot together. And that's okay, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't say foot to foot, he just said straight, and it's straight. The Prophet ﷺ, when he said something, he said it to people who were right there with him. Like we're going to cover some narrations in the next chapter, inshallah ta'ala. Prophet ﷺ, he taught the people what to do, and then he was right there watching them. No, not like that. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, to give an example that I was just mentioning the other day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبَسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمْ فَأُولَىٰ. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He says, those people who believe and don't mix up their iman or their belief with wrongdoing, those are the ones who will be safe and those are the ones who will be guided. When the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam heard this ayah, we destroy Ya Rasulullah. We are destroyed, Ya Rasulullah. Everybody from amongst us got to do something wrong.
So he mixed his belief up with that wrong deed. How he going to be safe and how he going to be guided? We finished, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet ﷺ said, no. This is not referring to every wrong deed. It's referring to one wrong deed. But in that ayah it says, those who believe and don't mix their belief up with wrongdoing. It just said general. You read the ayah, you have to think like the Sahaba thought. And Arabic is their language, and the Quran was revealed in Arabic, and they understood it to mean any wrongdoing. Anytime you do wrong, after you believed, you finished. Prophet ﷺ said, no. Haven't you heard Luqman tell his son, Inna shirk la tushrik billah, inna shirk la zulmun azim. Don't commit shirk in Allah. Indeed, shirk in Allah is the greatest wrongdoing. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to when he says, don't mix your belief up with wrongdoing. Meaning, don't mix your belief up in Allah with shirk. Meaning, you believe in Allah and you worship Allah, but you worship other than Allah along with Allah, and that's shirk. Like some of the Christians, like we're using that as the example. They say, no, we believe in God, but we worship Lord Jesus or Mary, the mother of God. Shirkum billahi ta'ala. Shirkum billahi ta'ala. Or, like some of the Muslims did in the dojos, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. Now, Muslims make prostration to the Japanese kafir sensei, or whatever you call them, joke. Sensei. Alright, the Muslim brothers, Salafis, making prostration to the Japanese kafirs. And then some of them, and the one who was asking the question said, I just couldn't prostrate. Prostrate like we do in sujood. Just like that, with your face on the ground, your hands to the side. So the one brother just said, I do the bowing, which is only for Allah. Bowing is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is rukur, and it's only for Allah. And any act of worship given to other than Allah is shirk. The brother, he said, I bow to the sensei. But when they prostrated to him, ain't no one in the world I could do that. That's for Allah. No, Allah tells us what's for Allah. You don't decide that I'm going to bow to him, but I ain't going to prostrate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited any type of worship to be for anyone other than Allah alone. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means when he says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Whoever desires to meet his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds and not ascribe any partners in worship with his Lord. Don't worship somebody else when you're worshiping Allah. Worship Allah alone. Otherwise, it's shirk. And if you mix your iman up with that shirk, then you can't be safe and you won't be guided. But if you don't understand this explanation of the Messenger of Allah, then you might think that it means anything. You might think that it means any wrongdoing you do, then you finish. So really, no one, the Quran and the Sunnah wasn't revealed to us. It was revealed to the Messenger of Allah والسلام, and the Sahaba. They were right there with the Prophet when the Quran was being revealed, and when the Sunnah was being detailed to the people, they understood it and they practiced it, and the Prophet saw it, and Allah know they did it, and Allah said, رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, كُلْنَا وَعْدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. And all of them Allah has promised Jannah, referring to those who fought before the conquest of Mecca and those who fought after the conquest of Mecca from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah said he promised all of them Jannah because they understood and practiced the Quran the way that it should be practiced and understood. Don't let some of the people come to you with some tricks to lead you astray. May Allah save us from the tricks of the people. Some of the people say the Sahaba differed. So you take their understanding, you're going to be confused because sometimes there's more than one position amongst the Sahaba. In that case, if it's more than one position amongst the Sahaba in a particular practice, oftentimes the other ones came to clarify. Like in the story of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu, one of the young companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, from Medina, and Abu Hafsan, Umar ibn al-Khattabi, radiallahu anhu, one of the older companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, from Mecca. Abu Musa knocked on Umar's door 3 times. Umar didn't answer. He left. Umar was washing up and he heard him, but he didn't respond. So when he came to the door, he didn't find anybody. So he went to the gatherings of the Muslims and asked, "Was somebody at my door? You know, I was trying to say, come in and to get to the door, but I didn't get there in time, obviously. Who was that?" Abu Musa said, "It was me." And the Prophet, and the reason I left, because the Prophet ﷺ told him, give the salams and enter, or if you're not given any permission, or if you're commanded to go back, then leave. Umar said, "We was with the Prophet longer than you, man. We don't know nothing about that." Difference of an opinion amongst the Sahaba. Bring your witnesses. And then the people say, "Yes, we heard that from the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam," and it was established. So yes, the Sahaba differed. But one of them knew and some of them didn't. As in some of the cases, I think, I don't know if it was this hadith or other than that hadith, but one of the Sahaba, they said about the younger ones, "You all have memorized and we forgot because we got busy with the affairs of the administration and other issues." As opposed to the younger people who can dedicate their time to just studying. The older people, they studied when they were young and they memorized and they understood, and then they got busy. Administrative affairs, handling the affairs of the Muslims, earning a living, taking care of their families, all that stuff prevented them from remembering everything that they used to review all the time like the young people. So sometimes one of the Sahaba, yeah, they have differed on some issues, but sometimes one of them knew and the other one didn't know. Or a group of them knew and the other one didn't know. And this is in some of the differences of an opinion from amongst the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If the issue is a difference of an opinion amongst the Sahaba, and I don't know of any examples right now, where none of them have evidence to show which one is right over the other, then that's just their opinion or their outlook, or their ijtihad, or their position, and it isn't that which is the understanding that we're sure of from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like the straightening of the rules, and Allah knows best. Bismillah. The likes of this class and that which is established by the Shaykh ibn Abi Zamanin, this is from the topic or the subject of al-manhaj, or the subject of the methodology. And it's important for the Muslims to know the correct methodology, as their whole deen will be based on this methodology. And if their methodology is incorrect, then their rest of their deen will be incorrect. And if their methodology is correct, then the rest of their deen will be correct, and perfection is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said before that I wish we could have had more time to deal with this subject, the details of it, but we hope that what was presented, inshallah ta'ala, is enough, except for one point that I want to add. When we are encouraging the people to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sahaba and the tabi'un and the tabi'in and the ulama or the scholars of this deen, this isn't calling the people to blind following of the imams. This is not calling the people to blind following of the imams. Is calling to the following of the imams when they are in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah, and their understanding is in line with that of the Sahaba. If the imams are calling us to opposition to the Quran and the Sunnah, then nobody is going to be followed in that case. If they're calling us to opposition to that, then nobody is going to be followed, as we have covered in some of our classes before, the story where the Messenger of Allah ﷺ made one of the people the Amir or the leader, and he sent them out on a raiding party. And then when they got on their journey, the leader said, "Didn't the Prophet ﷺ make me your leader?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Didn't the Prophet ﷺ command you all to obey me?" They said, "Yes." He said, "Get some firewood then." He said, put it on fire. Jump in. So everybody started looking at each other, looking at the fire. The Amir got angry. I'm your leader. Prophet ﷺ told you to obey me. Jump in that fire. He's mad. Everybody looking, standing around till the fire dies out. They said, we only follow the Prophet ﷺ to be saved from the hellfire. We're going to jump in it now. They brought that story back to the Messenger of Allah, and he said, if you would have entered into that fire, you would have never ever come out. Obedience is only in the ma'ruf, that which is in accordance to the Quran and the Sunnah, and that which is correct. So when the leaders are calling us to that which is not correct from the Quran and the Sunnah, there's no blind following. So don't confuse the issue of this methodology of adherence to the Quran and the Sunnah and following the Sahaba and the scholars, and then blind following them and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. This is what we wanted to present. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. I don't know if there were any questions around this point or if something needed to be more clarified. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك